Thanks for listening to the BeyondCast, the only podcast from Beyond Student Ministries located in Seattle, Washington. We're all about faith, mission, and reality.
All right. I'm not going to use a microphone since this is kind of a tiny room, but I do record our time together because we have a podcast. And so if you're not here some week, you can always get our podcast, and there's a link for that on our website, which is beyondministries.com. And so I just wanted to chat a little bit about some stuff before we get really started. And I'm going to steal your mic, your stand here, Max. I'm sorry. And I won't steal any pics or anything. Why are we here? Why are we here? Why do we get together weekly? Yes. To worship God, that is great. That is a great answer. Why else?
Praise Jesus.
That's the same answer. all right, to praise Jesus. Relationships, yeah, that's a great thing too. Why else are we here? What? To faith! All right.
To mission.
Yes, all right, you're hitting them all. All right. It's better than other stuff that you were doing because nothing is on at 7 o'clock. All right, just to kill time until the office is Kathy's answer.
No,
that's
not
encouraging. Thank you. I'm glad you're here. all right. Why else? Why else? Why are we here? Why are we here?
For
the glory of God. For the games. That's, yeah, for fun. And I hope we have fun over the time here. I will. I just wanted to hear what you guys thought. And Chris, can you go back to the original, the first slide thing? That would be great. We're going to talk a little bit about Nacho later. All right. You know, it's never too much to remind you guys, but we have three values, three core values here at Beyond, and those three values are faith, mission, and reality. And I just wanted to explain that a little bit. Faith, we're here because we want to experience the presence of God and to put our trust in Jesus Christ. That's faith. That's why we're here. The second reason is mission, because our faith and Jesus should challenge us to live out the mission of God, to tell our friends about Jesus, to go forth and just talk to people, to live a life of the gospel wherever we go. And so that's the mission part. So we're here as a place where you can bring your friends, you know, and we're growing and we're figuring stuff out. We're in a new place. And so, you know, there's going to be some bumps along the road, but we're no matter what, we're always going to be a place where your friends can feel safe and feel welcome. And that's a value of mine and our leaders, and you know, I hope that's a value of yours, that we would welcome people and just be generous and gracious to guests that come and to your friends. But most importantly, we're going to share the gospel. That's the mission. We're going to share the gospel. So we'll do it here, but also I want to give you guys tools to go out into school and to live the gospel. And so last month, you guys remember what we talked about in September at my house? Those of you who were there, what was it? I just talked about it.
Yeah.
Witnessing, about sharing and living a life that's different so that people want to know, like, why are you different? So that you're not the same as everybody else, so that you stand out because Jesus has changed your life. And so that's the mission. And then the last thing is reality. How many of you guys live in reality? Yeah, how many of you guys have ever... Yeah, it's not just reality TV anymore. I mean, we're going reality. It's going to be awesome.
Whoa,
I've never heard of such a thing.
That's reality squared.
But we know that life... Yes, it is reality squared. That's good. We know that life is hard. We know that there are things that come up that are frustrating, things that come up that make us wonder what's going on. And so we're going to talk about those things too. So like your parents. How many of you guys have ever fought with your parents? I'm 26 years old. I still fight with my parents. All right. How many of you guys have problems with your friends at school sometimes? I don't have a school, but you know what I'm talking about?
If I did,
Or how many of you guys have like questions about, you know, relationships
at work
too? Yeah, for you, Chris.
With me.
Yeah, with Takashi. So we'll have a counseling session for you guys, and we'll hammer some stuff out. And but you know, you have relationship issues with guys and girls and all that stuff in between. And so we'll talk about that, and we'll talk about all kinds of stuff because life falls in reality. And so those are our three values: faith, mission, and reality. And so everything we talk about, guess what? It's going to be about those three things. Yeah, I'm not that creative. And so we're just going to hit those. we'll talk about different aspects of all of that over and over again. So like there's going to be a time where we talk about worship. And so that's going to fall under faith. There's going to be a time where we talk about serving people who are hurting or broken. That's going to fall under mission, yeah. And then reality, we're going to talk about your friends and your relationships and all that kind of stuff, and that's going to be reality. And so that's what we're talking about. That's why we're here. And so you can always know, whenever you show up, that we're going to talk about faith, mission, or reality, and maybe all three on like a super-duper night. And we'll be here for 4 hours, and no, we won't. I'm also going to make a concerted effort, and I had to work in the word concerted at some point, to not talk forever. Because how many of you guys want to hear me talk forever? That's what I thought. Jordan, all right. Cool. All right. Jordan's like, I don't watch The Office, so I don't care.
Oh, yeah, 9 o'clock.
All right, Kath, we know you like The Office. Me too. But tonight, we're gonna talk about being authentic. And the series that we're going to talk about is called Masks. And that's Nacho Libre. And you notice anything about Nacho Libre? What's he wearing?
A mask.
And from that picture, it looks like only a mask. And I hope he's wearing more than that. And a necklace. But we're going to talk about masks. Because the truth is... everyone wears a mask. Matt wears a mask. Yeah, we all do. Sometimes we wear a funny mask. Sometimes we wear I just want to fit in mask. And sometimes... Most commonly, yeah. Sometimes we wear a mask that says, you know, I don't want anybody to know what's going on in my life. And so we put up a mask. We all wear masks at various parts of our life. Because, you know, we don't want people to know what's going on. We don't want people to intrude in our lives. For all different kinds of reasons, we wear masks. And so tonight I want to talk about the first reason, which is covering our shame. And, you know, that's a real lighthearted moment right there. Yeah, let's talk about shame, huh? Huh? Yeah. So grab a Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 3. Chapter 3 is not in the beginning necessarily. All right. Let me tell you, it's not, whatever. I was going to go somewhere. I'm not going to go. Yes. Turn to maps and go left all the way. All right. Or open the front, whatever. So let me sum up the story so far, since this is the very start of the Bible. God created the world, right? 7 days, created everything, and he said it was good. And he created man and woman, and he said they were very good. And he said, be fruitful and multiply, tend to the garden, and make sure that, you know, just do all this great stuff. Your life is going to be perfect. One little thing, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's it. One little thing. What's that? It's a tomato, according to Takashi. But that is... not true. All right. And so God made everything, and it was good. It was wonderful. It was perfect. But then things go downhill. So let's start in chapter... Actually, I'm going to start with chapter 2, verse 25, and show you a little bit of contrast. Verse 25, the man and his wife were both naked and felt no shame. All right, that's a good thing to start. No shame. All right. I'll be honest. Naked and no shame, that's good. And you know, Genesis chapter 2 is like really the highlight of the whole Bible until Revelation chapter 22, alright? Everything else in there is like, man, life sucks. You know, sometimes it feels like that. But you know, Genesis 2, everything was great. Man, woman, married, naked, eating fruit, alright? I mean, what better could that be? Nothing, really. And you know, you're going to tell your parents, like, what do you talk about youth group? It's like, naked and eating fruit. And they're going to be like, call them the elders, and they'll be like, that Jason... But we'll see what's happening. We'll see where we go from there, all right? So so they started out great. No shame whatsoever. So let's look at chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, which is the knowledge of good and evil, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" And then the man goes on to blame Eve, and it goes on from there. But that's why life sucks sometimes. Right there, chapter 3. Everything's great in chapter 1 and 2, and then chapter 3. Sin enters the world. Everything goes quick. And what I want to talk about is that the fact that they knew no shame. They were perfect. And as soon as they sinned, what happened? They realized they were naked and they felt ashamed. And so they made the very first coverings of all time. They made fig leaves. How many of you guys have ever seen a fig leaf? I haven't. Are they big?
I don't know.
Oh yeah, in the, you know, the picture Bible. Yeah. Hey man, people are on different levels spiritually, all right? So you show some respect. All right. Yeah, we got Kathy a comic Bible for her and the Old Testament, so it worked out. It was fun. I like it. But they felt the shame, and so they made fig leaves, and they covered themselves up, and then what happened? They hear God walking, which is so cool. They had a relationship with God where he walked among them. Could you imagine that? Like, God just, like, you're going to school, and he just shows up, like, closes his locker next to yours, like, "Hey, what's up?" And you're like, "Hey, God." Nothing. Could you imagine how cool that would be to have God as, like, just your pal all the time? That's what they had. It would be pretty sweet, I think. And they hide from him. And God's question is what's the most telling thing here, is that who told you that you were naked? Who told you that you needed to feel shame? Who told you to hide from me? Who told you that I would be angry? Who told you that I would try to just freak out? Who told you? Who told you? Who told them that? Nobody. Nobody told them they were naked. No one told them to be ashamed. But sin caused them to shame. Feel shame. And so they hid. And I have a list on the back of your program. There's a little outline thing if you guys want to do it. Or you can fill it in, not fill it in, whatever. I don't care. But there's a whole bunch of things that people throw names at us all the time. Things that we don't want to hear. Things that people tell us. Like ugly, inadequate, worthless, stupid, fat, sloppy, embarrassing, a waste of time, dumb, sleazy, bad, mad, smelly, sinful, wicked, unlovable, untouchable. And there's more. The list goes on. People always throw words and names at us. And so we try to put on a mask to say, "No, I'm not that. No, don't look at me. Don't call me names. I'm going to hide. Because we know ourselves the best and we feel those things sometimes. But God doesn't want you to feel that way. God doesn't want you to hide. God doesn't want you to have a mask. God doesn't want you to be inadequate. God wants you to be fully authentic, to live a pure, perfect life before Him. How many of you guys have seen Nacho Libre? Anybody? We're going to talk a little bit about Nacho Libre. There's mixed reviews on that movie. I like it. I've had the diarrhea since Easter. I love that line. I just love it. If you haven't seen it, go rent it or buy it, whatever. Enjoy it. It's a fun movie. No, and there's how come you have not been baptized? Yeah, I love that. Anyway. But Nacho his name is Ignacio, and he is a monk-ish guy. He's not really a monk, but he lives at a monkery. I don't know, a monastery. That's the word I'm looking for. A monkery, and he lives at a monastery, and he has one dream in life, and you find this on early on in the movie, is that he wants to be a luchador, which is a Mexican wrestler, but if he pursues that path of his life, and he decides to be fully authentic with who God's called him to be, he might lose everything. He might lose his relationships at the monastery, his relationships with the kids that he cares about, the orphans, he makes delicious food for them. He might lose the woman that he loves. I know, but he still loves her. It's okay. It's just a movie, so let's move on. If he does all that stuff, he might lose everything. And so what does he do? He goes anyway, but he wears a mask. That mask right there. Which, to see Jack Black in that mask, it made me tear up a little bit. I was like so happy. I was like, that's going to be a funny movie. And I thought it was. And so, but he goes and he puts on the mask and he keeps losing over and over and over again. But people like him because he's a funny show. And so they keep promoting him, whatever. I'm going to give the whole movie away to you. So if you haven't seen it, watch it anyway. But he finally, there comes a point where, like, at the end, he loses his mask and he's trying to beat this guy. And he, like, does this, like, condor thing. You guys remember? Like, oh, and he flies down and he wins. But he took off his mask. It was awesome. And I just love that movie, so I just want to talk about it a little bit. But what happened when he decided that he's going to be himself, mask or no mask, he's going to be Nacho. He wins. What's that? He says what? I don't know. But he wins when he takes off his mask. You know, and in our life, we have these masks, and we can take them off. You know, we put them on, we can take them off. And I want to talk a bit about what God thinks about you, because Adam and Eve hid because they had a misunderstanding of what God would think when they when he found out what they did. So turn to Psalm 139. All right, we have a little thing here where if you get there first, we've been saying hot tub. But this week, the word of the week is carpet ball. When you get there, say carpet ball. All right. It sounds like a personal betrayal. All right. This is a wonderful passage of Scripture because it shows how much God loves us and how much He knows about us. And we're just going to chat about this for a little bit, and then we're going to be done. And so we're almost finished up here. So, all right. Verse 13. God. This is King David writing, who was a pretty cool guy. For you created my inmost being. Psalm 139, verse 13. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. I should just keep going. It's fun. I love this passage. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. When I am awake, I am still with you. And then if only you would slay the wicked, O God, away with me, you bloodthirsty men. We'll stop there. Takes a turn. But this passage says some great things about God and His relationship with you. First of all, God made you to be you. That's pretty, whoa, He wants me to be me? God doesn't want you to be somebody else. God doesn't want you to be the guy you respect or the girl you look up to or that movie star or whatever, that sports person, I don't know. God doesn't care about them as being you. He wants you to be you. He doesn't want you to be them. So be you. It's that simple. So who has God created you to be? No, like, think about it. Yeah. Like, I wasn't done with it. Thanks, Kath. But how has God wired you? What are things that you're passionate about? What are things that excite you? God's put those there for a reason. Pursue them. You know, if you love to talk on the phone, Monica, maybe there's some way that God has wired you so that that could be a great ministry for His kingdom. You know? Or text, yeah. So, pray for me, TTYL, whatever. That could be a thing, sure. But what has God put in your heart? What has God equipped you? How has God designed you? Because He knit you together in your mom's womb, and He's like, oh man, Christiana's going to be awesome. And oh man, Jeff's going to be cool. Oh man, Monica's going to be so cool. You know, Amanda's going to be the best Amanda ever, of all Amandas, ever. You know, but God has those feelings towards you. Like, He looks at every one of us. When we feel like poop, God says, oh man, you're awesome. God doesn't feel like you're poop. All right? So think about that. That's a good bumper sticker. You know, there's the other one, you know, happens. You put the thing like, God doesn't feel like you're poop. All right? I would so love to see that, like, driving around, like, oh, hey, God doesn't feel like I'm poop. That's encouraging. Wouldn't that be fun? I'd love it. Yeah. Somebody do it, and I'll give you a dollar. I'll buy it. I'll buy one. All right. The other thing is that God knows everything about you. God knows how long you're going to live. God has a plan for every day that you're here. That's awesome. God knows that you struggle with things. God knows where you're hurting. God knows how people have hurt you. God knows all that stuff. He loves us anyway. He knows every single thing about you, and He loves you anyway. And I skipped one. God made you on purpose. You're not an accident. And I remember, you know, growing up and feeling... I remember growing up. That was awesome. I remember growing up and feeling like, man, why am I even here? You know, I was never like suicidal, but I had days of despair where I'm like, why am I here? This is horrible. You know? But God made me on purpose. And God put some stuff inside of me that He wanted me to do and to fulfill. And same with every one of us. God made us all on purpose. And so your parents may say in anger, oh, you know, you were a mistake, or oh, I wish you were never born. You know, I've heard that. But they don't mean it. And God definitely doesn't mean it. God put you here for this time, for this place, to change your world. To change your world for better. And that's like pretty big, right? You know, change the world. Wow. That's crazy. But we can do it. Because God is on our side. God is here for us. God wants us to do amazing things. And God wants the best for us. And so He's going to provide. And He's going to give us opportunities. So, who are your friends that need Jesus? Maybe that's your purpose. That's why you're here. Who has God put in your path to transform their life, to show them the light of Christ? Who? Because we all have those relationships. We all have those things that God has called us to be, to do, and He's got a purpose for us. And so those are the point. That's the whole thing. Our first thing about our mask is that we can take off the mask because God has something great for us. And I have a little video that I just want to just kind of for you guys to think about as we watch. It's not like a movie clip or anything. It's just kind of talking about how the devil looks at you and how God looks at you. So let's rock and roll.